From the studios of KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Uprising, and I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. It's Friday, August 21st, 2015. We'll be joined in studio by Eric Mann. He's the director of the Labor Community Strategy Center and its Fight for the Soul of the Cities campaign. He'll be discussing police militarization of our schools and cities. In the wake of the Ferguson Uprising last year, news reports began emerging of a little-known military program called 1033. That shares surplus military hardware to local police departments around the country. While the program sounds shocking, what is even worse is that police at public schools are also receiving weapons of war, such as M16s. Now, students at one school district are fighting back against the militarization and over-policing of their schools. This summer, dozens of students in Southern California confronted the Los Angeles Unified School District and demanded a list of military weapons in the district's possession. It was the latest in a series of events, hearings, and petitions. In May, President Obama signed an executive order limiting military transfers to local city and school police departments, but it's not yet clear if schools continue to retain past weapons obtained earlier under the program. In his latest article in the Huffington Post, my guest Eric Mann writes, quote, "We're calling on the Los Angeles Unified School Board and the LA Police and Sheriff's Departments to relinquish all their weapons from the 1033 program and burn them, don't return them, so they can't be used on others inside or outside the U.S. Eric Mann is the director of the Labor Community Strategy Center and its Fight for the Soul of the Cities campaign. He's the author of Playbook for Progressives, 16 Qualities of the Successful Organizer, and Katrina's Legacy, White Racism and Black Reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. He's also the host of KPFK Pacifica's Voices from the Front Lines, longtime civil rights activist with a history in organizations such as the Congress of Racial Equality, Students for Democratic Society, and the United Auto Workers. Welcome to Uprising, Eric.
Thank you, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, let's talk about the program itself. Even though it was adjusted by President Obama in May, certainly since May, there may have been some limits placed on it. But before May, how was this program acting? How was it filtering excess weapons that, you know, we wonder why we were producing in the first place, not only to local police departments around the country, but shockingly to schools and to school districts for police to use?
Well, we'll get back to the fact that the president's order is very weak and unenforceable. But I think the core is that the United States is at war with the black community. And as the Defense Department told me when they just wrote to me, said they wanted to make a distinction that the weapons they gave, the mine-resistant, ambush-protected, is a defensive weapon, and that's what they gave. They didn't give a tank. That's the level of distinction they want to make. The fundamental question is, why would the Los Angeles Unified School District or any school district want surplus weapons unless it's because the schools are no good, because the police are harassing people, because people don't have jobs, and they're anticipating another round of black rebellion. And this is truly a program to suppress all the young kids who are doing this great work now in the high schools about school-to-prison pipeline, about racist education. And it is, as he said, the guy from the Defense Department, well, these were originally used in Afghanistan and Iraq, and it is part of a counterinsurgency program.
Has there been, as far as you know, an actual deployment of such weapons in schools, in any public school system in the U.S. yet?
Don't know if they've been actually been deployed, but we do know that, for instance, the Los Angeles Unified Schools District presently has 61 M16s. M16s were declared by the Red Cross an inhumane weapon because that should be outlawed, because the attack on the body is not just fatal, but destroying virtually every organ. So the fundamental question is political, which is, why would Ramon Cortinas, the head of the school board in Los Angeles, why would Steve Zimmer, the chair of the board, still either defend or not get rid of 61 M16s? We know that the tanks have been used in Ferguson. We know that the Los Angeles Police Department has many more than 61 M16s.
1,600, I
understand. 1,600. Wow. It was in my article. Good. And, yeah, I should read my own stuff. And what are they going to do with 1,600 M16s? So the question is, as we said to the school board, you only got them to use them. They're not surplus for you. So the students have been rising up in the Los Angeles Unified School District, but I want to be clear, that the first thing is the president's order said in the future we will prohibit the use of 1033 weapons in school boards. We went back and checked. There's no order to return everything that they got.
Right. So let's talk about what the president said in May. Essentially, to great fanfare, the president announced that there would be limits placed on this program, the Pentagon surplus program. First of all, it doesn't end the program completely.
Right.
And second of all, it does not require the return of these weapons. And so schools that already received them, that already got them, such as LAUSD, as far as you know, get to keep them.
That's our understanding. I was just talking to the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund, with whom we're working on this national campaign. By the way, the main goal is to get President Obama to end the entire program, because we're saying no tanks in Detroit, no tanks in Philadelphia, no tanks in Houston. And the second thing is that his executive order said before you get more weapons, you're going to have to have a two-page application instead of a one-page application, still allows them to sell these weapons to each other. So you get a surplus weapon, and if L.A. wants to sell it to New York to suppress people, they're allowed to do it.
So keeping them in circulation.
Keep them in circulation. So let's be clear. I like reforms. I like real reforms. We read it with a fine-tooth comb. Bad Southern imitation. But so is Mayor Garcetti saying that. So is the school board Steve Zimmer saying this is an L.A. issue. It is not an L.A. issue. We need people from all over the country to say we want the LAUSD to give up these weapons as a test case, and then go into their own school board and say whether it's the weapons are from our school police or the local police, do you have 1033 weapons that you're going to use against students?
How important is the fact that this is a student-led effort?
Well, the Strategy Center is a multi-generational organization. We organize in the high schools, we organize on the buses. We organize 80-year-old Korean grandmothers and 60-year-old black women on public assistance. We don't glorify youth as an absolute category, but all revolutions are strongly student-driven, and we've been working in the high schools with our community rights campaign because these young people are, we just had a Freedom Summer with 30 young black and Latino kids run by Ashley Franklin and Manuel Kiyoyo, where they did political education on colonialism, on organizing tactics, on how to build a group. What I'm getting to is I think a lot of the young people know how to protest, but we really want to help them learn how to organize. And right now, they have 18-year-old teachers.
And that's part of the connection as well, right? When we have poor quality schools that are over-policed, those two things are linked.
Yeah, and I was listening to the Black Panther Party 10-point program, and they said, we want an education program that teaches people the true nature of the system. And that you're going to get from civil rights groups. That you're going to get from the Strategy Center. We want improvements. Certainly, we want literacy programs in the high school. There was just a big victory in LAUSD about ethnic studies. That was a great victory because we didn't just want better literacy. We wanted ethnic studies, and the Strategy Center worked with some terrific groups that were doing that. I think it's been proven that if you ask a black and Latino kid to read about ethnic studies, their literacy will be much more interesting than if you ask them to read Western civilization. So it's been proven, the relationship with literacy and interest. People read when they want to read it. So yes, there's a crisis in the actual education system, ideologically as well as technically. There's a crisis of massive underfunding. There's a crisis of policing. There's a crisis that the kids are coming in hungry. There's a crisis that they're coming in from families that are, it's a miracle that these families are hanging together. These kids are wonderful. They're really amazingly courageous young people, and they're fighting the whole system. They're not just fighting to get the police out.
And in the organizing, there's, of course, much educational value. In the making of these links, there's amazing educational value in seeing, and I say education, not just book smarts, but but learning how the world actually works. How has the school board responded or not? I mean, this the efforts that we've been talking about that were the most recent efforts by led by students and organizers was just part of a series of correspondence that you've had with the school board. Have they ignored you? Have they given some response?
Well, what's disappointing about this, and this is, you know, please hear the song Love Me, Love Me, Love Me, I'm a Liberal by Phil Oakes, that this is liberal Democrats. And liberal Democrats, in some ways, don't think that there's George McKenna, who's a member of the board, Steve Zimmer, Monica Garcia. These are good people in many ways. But they feel a certain righteousness about, well, I'm not a racist. You know, I couldn't. We said, we didn't say you're a racist. We said the policy is racist. And yes, good people can carry out racist policies. So we're closing in on them. You know, we sort of organizing is like they make a move. It's a chess game. They make a move. We make a move. We're winning the battle of ideas. They can't defend it, which is why they went into closed session.
Now, how do you defend?
Right. How do you defend it? Right.
Military.
I need this tank. Looking at a student saying, you don't understand. You are the main danger. You are the person I'm afraid of. And I need weapons. I need an M16 because if I ever need to shoot you. And the students are saying, and then the next day we're supposed to talk about educational reform, or the next day you think I trust you. So I think we need more public attention. If we win this, and I think we will, that's how history is made. So now, you know, we need victories. Not protests. We need protests, but we need protests and organizing and victories, and we need to. Power is the ability to get people to do something they don't want to do.
How would you encourage those in our listening and viewing areas outside of LA to find out what's in their schools and to organize in similar ways? Because this is the 1033 program, which is the Pentagon's military surplus program, is and was a national program.
Well, the good news is that the Strategy Center is heading up a national campaign to ask President Obama to get rid of the 1033 program. Strategy Center is also going to work with groups all over the country. If you want to write to us, we'll give you all the websites. You can get this information. We're working with the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. We just were on a conference call with Dignity in Schools where they're saying each chapter is going to have to vote. But with tremendous enthusiasm, we're working with the Appleseed Project in Texas. So we're very close, meaning in a week, to putting out a national call. One, ask the president, and number two, look at every city in the United States, and we will help you inventory the 1033 weapons in your own city.
And so why is President Obama specifically the one who can end this? I mean, he certainly signed an executive order. Could he have, in that executive order, just simply ended the program and demanded everything be returned?
Well, what I drive people crazy because I'm a writer is I always have articles in my head. And one of them is called President Obama, the Elephant in the Civil Rights Bathtub. And one of the problems is that if this was George Bush, there would be much more outrage. I'm happy that President Obama was elected. I mean that. I'm happy he's president of the United States rather than Mitt Romney. But his ability to co-opt, his ability to come up with these paper orders and so little outrage, he's called the commander-in-chief. Now, I wish he wasn't, but if he's willing to use drones to assassinate people, yes, he has the absolute legal authority to say the program is over. That's it. The same executive order that modified it can be changed to say, I've decided to end the program. So that's what's good about it. All the Democrats will say, well, his hands are tied. We have to win the Congress back. No, he has executive power to do so many things. Please see George Bush. George Bush didn't worry about things like that. So let's be clear. President Obama can, with a stroke of a pen, end the 1033 program. He's the primary, I would say, target of this campaign.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Eric, for joining us today. And that does it for our program. My guest is Eric Mann. He is the director of the Labor Community Strategy Center, and it's Fight for the Soul of the Cities campaign. He's the author of Playbook for Progressive 16 Qualities of the Successful Organizer and Katrina's Legacy, Fight Racism and Black Reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, and the host of KPFK's Pacifica's Voices from the Front Lines. This is Uprising. Anna Buss is our assistant producer and technical director. Christian Beck is our production coordinator. Teddy Robinson is our audio engineer. Special thanks to Stan Mizrahi for technical assistance. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/uprisingwithsonali. Our website is uprisingwithsonali.com. Our theme music is by Quetzal. I'm Sonali Kohatkar, host and executive producer of Uprising. I'll see you next time.